You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Aspen Daily News. My name is Greg Stewart. It's just very hard. Blue Lake Preschool grapples with significant rent increase. Article by Kaya Williams, special to the Aspen Daily News, from the Tuesday, February 3 edition of Aspen Daily News Online. At the Blue Lake Preschool in El Jebel, child care provider to 165 local kids, operating in the same location since 1993, margins are pretty tight. The majority of their revenue goes towards staff salaries, benefits, and professional development, quote, "so we don't have a lot left over for food and rent and utilities," said Executive Director Michelle Oger, O-G-E-R. The preschool counts 33 employees at their flagship location alone, plus more during the summer and roughly a dozen each at the preschool's new offshoots in Carbondale and Basalt that serves scores of additional families. The organization has operated as a nonprofit since 2000 and reported a $3.2 million budget in its 2024 tax return. All but $34,000 of the organization's income went toward expenses. That's why a significant increase in the preschool's rent this year is such a hard pill for them to swallow after months of negotiations. The organization signed a new 5-year lease for their location in the Blue Lake neighborhood at $10,000 a month. The rate, which took effect in January, includes the cost of insurance and most maintenance, but it's also more than triple what they've paid for the last decade to the Blue Lake Owners Association that serves as their landlord. In a statement, the Board of the Owners Association said they're focused on moving forward positively, and that the association values Blue Lake Preschool's long-standing role in the community and is committed to maintaining a strong, respectful relationship with its tenants. The association also is a nonprofit, governed by a 7-member board and representing the owners of 350 properties in the neighborhood. Association members pay just over $150 per month in dues, accounting for the majority of the association's annual revenue, and get access to amenities like a private lake with a beach. In the board's view, the preschool lease terms, quote, "reflect the board's fiduciary responsibility to our members while ensuring the preschool continues to receive a competitive rate below local commercial market averages." But leadership at the preschool has a different take. "We felt like we had to sign this lease because we don't have another option," Auger told the Aspen Daily News last week. The preschool's news release shared with the Aspen Daily News frames the increase as excessive and describes the situation as part of a regional trend with, quote, "child care center rental costs skyrocketing, putting additional strain on already financially stressed organizations essential to the community." Given the lack of viable and affordable alternatives for a child care center in the Mid-Valley, Auger feared the facility would have to close if it didn't stay in Blue Lake, leaving families without child care and employees without a job. Those families would have been absolutely devastated by a closure in the middle of winter, she said in the release. "Do we want to move forward positively? Absolutely," Auger told the Aspen Daily News, "but not paying $10,000 a month." For decades, the preschool has had a good working relationship with the Owners Association. Their last lease was a 10-year term with rent set at $3,100 per month through July of 2025. The association was on the hook for most maintenance costs and insurance for the building. The preschool contributed to facility improvements, too, like a playground and commercial kitchen. Over time, the preschool's investments added up to more than $1 million, Auger said. In the spring of 2025, the Owners Association proposed a new arrangement. Rent would increase some, but the preschool would now also be responsible for insurance and maintenance costs. Adding it all up, the preschool estimated those terms would nearly double their monthly expense for the building, with the potential for unpredictably high bills in the future. So, the preschool made some counteroffers, but those didn't fly with the association board. The association conducted a professional building inspection, reviewed expected costs, and looked at, quote, local market data to determine the $10,000 per month rate they proposed in the fall, inclusive of insurance and most maintenance for the 6,300 square foot space. When negotiations continued past the previous lease's expiration date, the preschool paid $4,650 month to month. From the HOA's perspective, the counteroffers from the preschool did not address the long-term financial realities of operating and maintaining the building, nor the impact of inflation and rising costs on homeowners. The association's board said in a statement, the preschool would have to agree to the proposed rent to find another location, rather or find another location. With the current landscape of commercial real estate in the Roaring Fork Valley, Oger felt there was nowhere else the preschool could afford to go at the time. It's no surprise to anybody that there's not space for another child care center in the Mid-Valley, Oger said. The openings of the Little Blue Preschool in Carbondale and the location at Stotts Mill in Basalt were backed by outside funding, like grants and government support. Oger said the association has, quote, actually stepped up quite a bit with maintenance help, and she understands their desire to be fiscally responsible. The association's 2026 budget includes $60,000 in spending for preschool improvements, though the board declined to provide internal budget breakdowns to the Aspen Daily News. But she's still upset about how negotiations went down and wishes there had been more explanation of the $10,000 rate. And she now has to think about what it will take to cover the added costs. Tuition currently ranges from around $1,850 to $1,920 per month, depending on the age of the child and the program. While Oger wasn't comfortable with increasing those numbers mid-year, quote, obviously we'll need to evaluate it again this September. Oger has ramped up grant applications, though those are, quote, extremely difficult to get right now, she said, as private foundations feel the demand from organizations grappling with government funding cuts. Eagle County has an initiative to support child care programs with rental and mortgage costs and has been able to help with some of the increase, said Samantha Markovitz, the county's early childhood initiatives manager. But that won't cover all of it either. Meanwhile, a new regional child care tax district is just getting off the ground, so Oger is in, quote, wait-and-see mode to find out if that could help the future. Rather, help in the future. The preschool also has increased its goal for an April fundraiser and, quote, added a couple other small fundraisers in hopes that they can, quote, cover the difference in those areas rather than putting it back on our families, Oger said. It's just very hard, she said. An associated photo from page 5 features the Blue Lake Preschool, which has operated out of the same location in Elgerbell since 1993. Photo courtesy of Jason Charm at the Aspen Daily News. Another photo from the article features kids as they check out plants at the shore of a pond near Blue Lake Preschool in Elgerbell. Photo courtesy of Blue Lake Preschool. An associated photo from page 1 features children as they play in the snow at the Blue Lake Preschool in Elgerbell. photo courtesy of Blue Lake Preschool. Advertising from page one is for Belly Up Aspen and the Evening with Jammy Buffett on February 3rd. The Colorado-Tennessee outfit breathing new life into Jimmy Buffett's timeless Gulf and Western sound while infusing the improvisational spirit of the jam band world. Again, it's Belly Up Aspen with Jammy Buffett on February 3rd. Continuing with local headlines, Aspen adds Zip to its car sharing program, Car2Go, to be replaced in May. Article by Lucy Peterson of the Aspen Daily News. The city of Aspen will replace its Car2Go program with the car sharing service Zipcar in hopes of further incentivizing systems to minimize greenhouse gas emissions and congestion. Zipcar is a privately operated car sharing program based in Boston. The Aspen City Council approved a $384,300 contract with the program last week to conduct a 3-year pilot using short-term rental tax revenue earmarked for environmental projects. In May, the city will transition its Car2Go program to Zipcar to increase members in the program and, quote, increase focus on tourists and second homeowner markets and potentially grow regionally, a staff memorandum to council says. By leveraging the extended reach of a national program, the city can incrementally add more electric and hybrid vehicle options to the fleet and work with Zipcar to measure the greenhouse gas emission reduction impacts of the program, the memo states. The city first launched Car2Go in 2000 to give Aspen residents a, quote, car-free or car-light lifestyle, according to the memo. The pilot program began with one car shared among city staff. It has since grown to a fleet of 7 hybrid and electric vehicles shared among 300 members. It's one of several transportation demand management, TDM, strategies the city employs to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and congestion. Car2Go was identified in the Aspen Gets Us There project, an initiative the city launched in 2023 to improve parking and transportation as an area for TDM growth. But expansion beyond the current membership is difficult because the program no longer qualifies for federal congestion management and air quality grants. City Streets Department staff are used to address vehicle maintenance and other issues. Also, there are limitations on tourist and Down Valley participation. It's difficult to grow Car2Go regionally because the program is fully funded by the city. Outsourcing the program has been a consideration for years, but there's been a lack of vendor interest in the past. A request for proposals was published at the end of Aspen Gets Us There project seeking public-private car-sharing partnerships. Zipcar, the selected vendor, is well-positioned to improve customer experience, grow the program with locals, offer its services to tourists, and potentially launch car sharing regionally, just as Downtowner and WeCycle have piloted locally and grown regionally over the years, the memo says. In addition to the $384,300 contract, the city likely will purchase Zipcar credits to encourage existing Car2Go members to try the new program. Car2Go currently costs $10 per month for members. It costs $5.50 per hour to use a vehicle. According to Zipcar's website, a monthly membership is $9. I wanted to make a commendation for the city for not trying to do everything ourselves and for leveraging, sort of, people who excel at doing something specific and something niche. Councilman Bill Guth said during the January 27 meeting. I'm glad to see this go in that direction. I think it'll be a better service for the users. I think it's better technology, less staff resources that need to go into managing it. The associated photo from page 7 features a zip car, a silver zip car. City of Aspen phasing out its Car2Go program. Photo courtesy of Zipcar. And now advertising from page 2 is for the Wheeler Opera House. Wednesday, February 4, it's a film. Mountain Film on Tour, Indomitable Spirit. A circus, Thursday, February 5, the Peking Acrobats. On Thursday, February 12, it's Modi, Comedy with Modi, M-O-D-I. And Saturday, February 14, it's music with The Band Perry. Get tickets at thewheeleroperahouse.com. They're located at 320 East Hyman Avenue in Aspen. Phone number 970-920-5770. And now, Wyclef Jean, Neil Francis Club NF to perform for Snow League fans. Event set for February 27 and 28 at Buttermilk Mountain. Article by Jeff Hansen of the Aspen Daily News. The Snow League announced Monday that three-time Grammy winner Wyclef Jean and Neil Francis Club NF will perform at the Buttermilk Sports event on February 27 and 28. The league was founded by Winter X Games and Olympic champion Sean White. It's a professional sports league dedicated exclusively to snowboarding and freeskiing. The competition at the end of February is Event 3 of the league's inaugural season. The first event featured only snowboarding and took place in Aspen on March 8 through 9, 2025. 9 months later, the league expanded to free skiing for the second event in Yunding Snow Park, China, on December 4 through 6. Last year's musical act at the inaugural Snow League event in Aspen was Big Boy, B-O-I, of Outkast, O-U-T-K-A-S-T, who was recently inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Neil Francis Club NF, not to be confused with soul-singing piano player Neil Francis, is the Los Angeles-based duo Jordan Feller and Mark Gilfrey. The duo celebrates dance music, rave culture, and put on a hybrid DJ live performance show. Gene was the founding member of the Fugees, or F-U-G-E-E-S, one of the most influential hip-hop groups of the 1990s. Their album, The Score, was ranked number 134 on Rolling Stone's The 500 Greatest Albums of All Time list. The Fugees, or Fuggies, are best known for a cover of Roberta Flack's Killing Me Softly and Originals' Hips Don't Lie, 911, and Ready or Not. Gene's 1997 solo album, The Carnival, is regarded as one of the best albums of that decade and includes the songs Gone Till November and a cover of the Bee Gees' Stayin' Alive. We're excited to bring Wyclef Jean and Neil Francis Club NF to Event 3 in Aspen this month, said Omer Aitzman, A-T-E-S-M-E-N, CEO of the Snow League, in a news release. After the fun, high-energy musical moments at last year's Aspen event, we knew we wanted to raise the bar again, and these guys will bring even more fun, rhythm, and unforgettable energy to the mountain. General admission tickets start at $25. Fans who hold a valid Aspen Snowmass lift ticket or season pass on February 27 and 28 can use their Aspen card to access the GA areas of the venue on a first-come, first-served basis for free. A limited number of premium hospitality tickets are available in the Snow Deck, an exclusive outdoor section at the base of the half pipe, offering a view of the action and video screens. The premium tickets include complimentary food and beverage. Tickets can be purchased at TIXR.com/groups/the Snow League/events. Advertising from page 3 is for Real Estate on Higher Ground. It's the BJ Adams team in Compass Real Estate, featuring Ridge number 28. It features 2 bedrooms, 2 baths, 1,420 square feet, assigned carport parking, offered at $9,995,000, furnished, turnkey. A meticulously cared for property, which hasn't been made available for rent for years, finished in a mountain lodge style with high quality finishes and fixtures throughout, including a burnished wood floor. This property feels brand new. Carefully placed aspens and evergreens block buildings you wouldn't want to see. Views of Sam's Knob and, in the winter, of Mount Daly as well, from both the living room and the spacious deck. Ski locker located near Faraway Road, with a very short walk, ski access to and from Assay Hill. The ad features a spacious living room with a fireplace and hearth. It's bj.adams@compass.com. Phone number 970-379-2114. It's aspensnowmassproperties.com. Continuing with local headlines, AHS dance team takes bronze at nationals. Skiers hit their best routine at the right moment. Article by James Noakes, special to the Aspen Daily News. The Aspen High dance team has cemented itself as a powerhouse program after a third-place finish in Saturday's varsity D11 or D2 POM competition at the Universal Dance Association National Dance Team Championships in Orlando, Florida. Skiers coach Gioia, that's G-I-O-I-A, Bartalo, B-A-R-T-A-L-O, knew the team had the potential to make noise at nationals, and the students produced the results she expected. Hopkins County Central High School in Kentucky finished in first with 85.45 points. Bishop Amat High School was second with 85.2375 points, followed by Aspen with 84.3125. I think this placement shows that we have established ourselves as a consistently strong program and competitor, Bartolo said. A third place finish at the CHSAA State Spirit and Dance Tournament in the Class 2A/3A POMS Division in December motivated Aspen. For a team that placed second, fourth, and first in previous national tournaments, a third place finish at state seemed like a setback. But the skiers didn't hang their heads. Rather, they were motivated to put on an even better performance in Orlando. The competition was held at Walt Disney World Resort. We got right to work, Aspen senior Valerie Menendez said. We made changes to our dance, drilled things, lifted weights, and perfected every single little detail. Those little details were honed at early morning practices before school, in individual work at home, and even in late-night walkthroughs in a Florida parking lot, according to team member Lena Bradley. On Thursday night, the skiers had a backstage practice when Bradley knew Aspen could pull off something special. It was the first full day at the facility, and the vibes on the practice mat were high. The flooring panels were the same as the ones the team would dance on and be judged, and they were ready. Our energy as a team was just electric, Bradley said. We were hyping each other up, fighting to hit everything at our best, and calling out changes. It was then I knew our team would be successful on that floor no matter what, because We were ready to put our best on the floor. Preparation for Saturday started back in June when head captain Devin Asselone, Asselone, said the skiers started to show the discipline needed to fuel at top finish at Nationals. "We have been preparing our dance since June," Asselone said. "We've flown out our choreographer, Haley Willis, to improve and advance our routine to make it the best for the stage. Because they were focused on stamina and strength training, the skiers were able to offer a peak performance throughout the entire routine. In its division, Aspen scored highest in the execution of movement and uniformity categories." The team was elated when they walked off the floor. Bartolo said they knew they'd hit their best routine of the season at exactly the right moment. "We had a goal to hit personal bests across the board, and we achieved that goal." The associated photo from page 6 features the entire Aspen High School dance team from Orlando, Florida. Photo courtesy of Meredith Carroll. And now advertising from page 4. The Big Game Watch Party. It's Sunday, February 8th. Food and drink and specials all day at the Hickory House Ribs. Phone number 970-925-2313. They're at 730 West Main Street. Delivery starting at noon on game day. In-house, takeout, and delivery. Open 7 days a week. Open all day on game day. Order online at hickoryhouseribs.com. And now it's Mawa's Kitchen. Chef Kelston Moore is making his Aspen debut at Mawa's Kitchen February 6 and 7. Join him for an innovative, multi-course Caribbean dinner event in honor of Black History Month. Don't miss this one-of-a-kind dinner. It's Mawa's Kitchen, Aspen. And now, Aspen Valley Eye Care welcomes Dr. Jennifer Windler, now seeing patients in Aspen and the Willetstown Center. Call today to schedule at 970-236-9252. A highly trained, compassionate new optometrist joining Dr. Haju, bringing Boston-level clinical experience to the Roaring Fork Valley. Formerly with the Boston VA Medical Center, Dr. Jen brings advanced training in comprehensive eye exams, ocular disease management, eye emergencies, eyeglasses and contacts, LASIK and cataract surgery co-managed care in Aspen at 525 East Cooper Avenue, and the Willetstown Center in Basalt at 850 East Valley Road. And now, advertising from page 5. I can't believe it. Look at the low rates at Cunningham Mortgage. It's Mac Cunningham, president. Phone number 970-379-9333. The ad features a cute puppy looking at the camera. And now, coffee and conversation. Join Megan Tackett, associate publisher of the Aspen Daily News, for informal office hours at Explore Books and Coffee. Come say hello, share a latte, and talk local news, community ideas, or whatever's on your mind. Fridays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Explore Books and Coffee. They're at 221 East Main Street in Aspen. Phone number 970-925-5336. And now a notice from the town of Basalt. Help us support free community gatherings. Applications for business sponsorships and nonprofit partnerships for Basalt's 2026 Summer Concert Series are now open for shows in Basalt River Park and Triangle Park. Sponsorship fosters name recognition and community support, resulting in high exposure for businesses and nonprofits. Learn more and apply by February 28 at www.basalt.net/concert-sponsors. And now, in Western Regional News, 3 fraternity members arrested in death of Northern Arizona student following rush event. Article by Colleen Slevin of the AP. A Northern Arizona University student found dead at a fraternity house, drank a large amount of vodka, During an initiation event, and some partygoers suspected he may have had alcohol poisoning, according to court documents released Monday. Witnesses told police that some people looked up the symptoms of alcohol poisoning online after hearing the 18-year-old snoring loudly around 3 a.m. Saturday and readjusted his sleeping position and checked his pulse and breathing, the document said. About 6 hours later, the student was found unresponsive. Police said in the documents laying out the reasons three members of the fraternity were arrested. People at the Delta Tau Delta, T-A-U Delta, house performed CPR on him, and the student wasn't breathing when officers arrived, police said on Saturday. Officers continued life-saving measures until paramedics arrived, but the student, whose name hasn't been released, died at the scene, police said. Three 20-year-old leaders in the fraternity, new member educator Carter Eslick, Vice President Ryan Creech, and Treasurer Riley Cass, were arrested on the criminal charge of hazing, police said. Lawyers representing each of them did not immediately return phone calls, seeking comment. Home telephone numbers for the three couldn't be immediately found. According to the documents, Cass had put the victim on an air mattress on his side on Friday night and remained near him until around 6 a.m. The student was last heard speaking late Friday and was discovered unresponsive at 8:44 a.m. Saturday, the document said. The victim and three other people identified as candidates to join the fraternity passed around and shared two large bottles of vodka to ensure they vomited, the document said, though some witnesses told investigators they thought the vodka had been diluted with water. The cause of death is under investigation, said Trish Lees, L-E-E-S, a spokesperson for the Cocochino County Medical Examiner's Office. The international leader of the fraternity, which is based in Indiana, said the group is encouraging its members to participate in the investigation into the student's death and is committed to understanding what led to it. Our position on hazing is clear. It is the antithesis of brotherhood and a violation of the values of Delta Tau Delta, fraternity CEO Jack Kremen said in a statement. The university said the Northern Arizona chapter of the fraternity has been temporarily suspended while the school conducts its own investigation focused on its policies. In a statement, the university said it had robust hazing prevention training and requirements. And now advertising from page 7 for Snowmass, Mardi Gras, and Chinese New Year's celebration, Tuesday, February 17. At the Snowmass Mall in Bass Village. There's a bead toss, a dragon dance, hi-fi concert, and more. It's free. And now, by the community, for the community, it's Healthy Community Fund. When farmers and fruit tree stewards have surplus crops, we harvest the extra, increasing access to the food that is most desired and least accessible to people experiencing food and nutrition insecurity in the community. The voter-supported Healthy Community Fund assists the Pitkin County community by providing grants to nonprofit organizations that provide critical health and human services and community resources. It's brought to you by Pitkin County. Learn more at pitkincounty.com/HCF. And now some community messages from page 8. It's the Herbert Bear Studies, Folding Time with Coco Bear, upcoming making workshop. It's the upcoming art making workshop, February 4th and 5th, 5 to 6 p.m. at 620 Gillespie Avenue. Come learn paper folding techniques in this hands-on workshop. Open to all ages. Register at thebearcenter.org/events. You can reach the Bear Center also at 970-544-7899. And now, it's Honor Jazz Band. JAS District. Free concert, Saturday, February 7, from 5 to 6:30 p.m. at Carbondale Middle School, featuring 80 of the top student jazz musicians from across the Western Slope. You can get information at jazzaspensnowmass.org or call 970-920-4996. And now a look at political news. What a swing House district in Colorado shows about Republicans' immigration fallout in the midterms. Article by Nicholas Riccardi of the AP. Like many Donald Trump voters, Miranda Niedermeyer is not opposed to immigration enforcement. She was heartened by initial moves from the Republican president in his second term that she saw as targeting immigrants who were in the United States illegally and had committed crimes. But Niedermeyer, 35, has steadily become disillusioned with Trump, never more so than in recent weeks when federal immigration officers killed two U.S. citizens during Trump's crackdown in Minneapolis. In the beginning, they were getting criminals, but now they're tearing people out of immigration proceedings looking for the tiniest traffic infraction to deport someone, said Niedermeyer. She said she is horrified because the administration's approach is not Christian. It shouldn't be life and death, she said. We're not a third world country. What the hell is going on? Trump's immigration drive in Minnesota and the deaths of Renee Good and Alex Pretty has resonated across the farms, oil and gas rigs, and shopping centers of Colorado's 8th Congressional District, a swing seat stretching northeast from Denver. The month-long turmoil in Minnesota has reinforced the political views of some in the U.S. House District while making others reconsider their own. He should cool it on immigration, said Edgar Cautle, C-A-U-T-L-E, a 30-year-old Mexican-American oil field worker who said he is a Trump fan but is increasingly distressed by images of immigration agents detaining children and splitting families apart. It's making people not like him. If such sentiments hold until the fall, that could imperil House Republicans who won their seats by narrow margins and could jeopardize the GOP's full control of political power in Washington. Even a small shift is significant in the 8th District, where Republican Gabe Evans, was elected to Congress in 2024 by 2,449 votes out of more than 330,000 cast. His seat is one of the Democrats' top targets as they push to retake the House in November. Evans is a former police officer whose mother is Mexican-American. He has urged the administration to focus on deporting criminals rather than people in the country illegally who are otherwise obeying the law. As Evan puts it, gangbangers, not grandmas. In an interview, Evan said he is worried about the assertion by Immigration and Customs Enforcement that it can search homes with just an administrative warrant rather than one signed by a judge. He said he looks forward to questioning Department of Homeland Security officials during an upcoming House hearing. Still, Evans blamed Democrats for the Minneapolis standoff and the broader impression that ICE is out of control. One side wants to fan the flames and equivocate in this space because they want an issue to run on in November, he said. He noted that ICE has stepped lightly in his district with narrowly tailored operations aimed at criminals rather than the local industries that rely on immigrant workers. We have big meat packing plants, we have big dairies, we have places where, if ICE was trying to meet a quota, you would see ICE going to them, Evans said. Some 4 of 10 voters in Evans's district are Hispanic. In more than 24 interviews across the district, every voter who identified as Hispanic spoke of being offended by Trump's immigration crackdown. Many U.S. citizens all feared for their own safety. I don't know if just because of my last name or how I look, they might go after me, said Jennifer Hernandez, 30, as she entered a Walmart in the town of Brighton. Plenty of other voters supported the Minnesota operation even after the shootings of Good and Pretty. They've got to clean up the immigrants, definitely, said Herb Smith, a 61-year-old generator installer and Trump voter. The associated photo from page 9 features a protester as he holds an American flag while waving at motorists on January 28 of 2026 from an overpass along Interstate 25 in North Glen. Photo courtesy of AP Photo / David Zelobowski. And now advertising from page 9 for Art Cart Alpine Rally, the 2026 version. Snow, Myths, and Legends, February 7, Aspen Rec Center, 5 to 8 p.m. Become a legend at aspenspecialevents.com. And Snowmass, Mother Ascensions, the infamous uphill race returns. Over $15,000 of awesome draw prizes. Registration fee is $60. $30 of every entry fee goes to support the Aspen Hope Center. It's snowfusion.com. Mother Ascensions, Fat Tuesday, February 17, 2026. Find more fun at gosnowmass.com. And now, commentary by Roger Marolt. Priced for perfection, paying dearly for it. The skiing right now is really lousy. Now, don't go asking a local with a discounted season pass, a couple pairs of rock skis in the quiver, and some spare time during lunch hour to head up for a couple of runs, because they'll tell you the conditions are fine. The person you need to ask is the one who flew in, bought a lift ticket at full price, paid out the nose for hotel room, rented gear, maybe hired an instructor, and then fueled themselves with 3 square meals a day in Aspen restaurants. Asked that person what it's like on our slopes, and they will tell you it stinks. So, why do we have to take the visitor's word for how the skiing is over the locals' opinion? It's because that's the way we have geared the system. They have the money. They get the final say. The difference in perception between the local and the visitor during this exceptionally dry winter is a warning sign. The alarm is sounding. Aspen is priced for perfection. Priced for perfection is a term we hear these days related to the price of artificial intelligence stocks. It implies the stock's price is based on an unrealistic assumption that everything will go right for the companies developing the technology. Practically speaking, investors are assuming zero flaws in development, marketing, delivery, and execution. If anything goes wrong, the stocks will plummet. As this concerns Aspen, at the premium prices we are charging our visitors, they now expect zero flaws in the product and perfect service in us delivering it. The fact that many visitors are canceling reservations this dry winter, while locals are finding the conditions tolerable, is explained by this phenomenon. While still expensive, skiing for locals can be managed, and so are our expectations. For the guests, few will pay to ski in these substandard conditions. Even tourists who only ski the man-made groomers, which are always about perfect, find our ski areas' sceneries are not currently suitable for social media postings. We clearly see the economic impact of a bad snow year, but the threats aren't limited to this. For visitors paying for perfection, a dry, hot, smoky summer won't cut it. The inconvenience of traffic snarling when we build a new bridge won't be tolerated. Neither will being forced to drive from gypsum when flights can't land here as we rebuild our airport. Anything that gets in the way of offering the flawless experience for our guests can torpedo our economy, including a prevailing surly attitude in our workforce. This last factor should not be dismissed. What makes Aspen truly perfect is not, on the whole, our surrounding mountains. It is not primarily the quality of our airport or highways. It is not mostly fancy stores and Michelin-starred restaurants. It is not predominantly our recreational amenities or private clubs. All of these things are, of course, large components of our product that is now priced for perfection. But the thing that is more necessary than all the rest to keep the Aspen product priced for perfection is the local workforce. Without it, Aspen's reputation as the most luxurious and expensive ski resort in the world is burnt toast. The bottom line: local workers are the most invaluable part of this money-making machine, no matter what their jobs are here. Scrubbing toilets is not glamorous, but it is a vital job necessary to keep this dream alive. Nobody is going to come here if they find skid marks in the bottom of the bowl. I'm not talking about Highland Bowl either. The tiny Telluride Ski Patrol proved this assertion just a few weeks ago. They shut the town down over the holidays because they understood that they were next to irreplaceable in a village where it is almost impossible for the working person to make a living. It is extremely hard to work in a resort that's priced for perfection. Much of the work asks us to be not who we naturally are. We, too, are expected to be perfect at all times. Some jobs require uniforms. All require the metaphorical mask of a perpetual smile and rigid posture of servility. It's exhausting. We kiss butt and get rewarded with big tips, bonuses, and other perks. But those things come with a hidden cost. They change us the more we chase them. We end up striving to make ourselves perfect, not in a moral or spiritual sense, but in the material sense, because ultimately that's what is demanded of us. They'll accept soulless service as long as the coffee cup is always topped off and the hotel limo sits idling for them. We are left to wonder, what happens to a place priced for perfection when people decide to stop pretending? Roger can be contacted via email at roger@meraultllp.com. The associated photo from page 10 features skiers as they wait their turn to head down the Walsh's Trail in the Heroes Terrain of Aspen Mountain one afternoon last week. Photo courtesy of Jason Charm with the Aspen Daily News. And now opinion by Steve Skinner. Are the days of innocence gone? I almost cut my hair. It's definitely getting in my way. But it's what I use to declare my stubborn hold to see the last tendrils of optimism and innocence. Now that it has reached my shoulders, I know that if I do cut it, that it will be the last time I make a commitment like letting it grow, grow, grow. In October 1995, I wrote my first column for this newspaper, Why Don't We Do It in the Road? October 25, 1995, Aspen Daily News. There was a petition circulating that proposed, shall the city of Aspen close Galena Street between Hyman Avenue and Cooper Avenue, and close Cooper Avenue between Galena Street and Hunter Street to all motor vehicles and parking, with the exception of mass transit vehicles, to provide for a better pedestrian environment adjacent to the existing mall in downtown Aspen. The petition was peddled by local activists, including the great Nick DeWolf, a local long hair I used to feature on my radio show, introducing him as, quote, "the closest thing Aspen has to a rocket scientist." DeWolf designed the fountain on the end of the Hyman Avenue Mall across from the Wheeler Opera House. He knew a thing or two about creating an environment that was fun and safe and dramatic. He loved Aspen. He was Aspen. Advocates were seeking 700 signatures to get the pedestrian proposal on the ballot. As you can imagine, I came out in support of the petition, but like many bold ideas in Aspen and elsewhere, it was shot down by naysayers, mostly affected merchants and a trigger-shy city council worried about money. I still think it's a good idea. But it's easy to say no. It's much easier than saying yes or giving things a chance. Creativity often encounters resistance and jealousy and armchair expertise from those who haven't had an original thought in years, if ever. Sometimes ideas get through and turn out beautifully. Mostly not. Highway 82 used to run through downtown Basalt. A bypass was proposed, but many resisted, fearing that the town would wither from lack of business. The idea prevailed, and Basalt is a much nicer town as a result of that bold move. I've often imagined a Highway 82 bypass for downtown Glenwood Springs. The idea has been floated but never gained traction, leaving the historic community to endure a self-inflicted poison arrow through the heart. I've even joked that Aspen should put up a gate, holding back the daily horror show of relentless tailpipes spewing into downtown by the tens of thousands. In the early 1990s, we almost got a choo-choo train to whisk locals and tourists into Aspen. Can you imagine the magic of Aspen, where you could hear the birds sing and breathe pure Rocky Mountain air? Those are radical ideas, but the idea to close a couple blocks near the malls was level-headed. As I said in that first column, quote, "If voters approve the question, a couple of planters go down and the streets close the next day. This has some people very nervous." It's said that the pendulum of politics always swings back, and I'm wondering if change is once again in the air. Locally, students are walking out. Protesters are standing out in the cold, resisting radical changes that have been implemented with no public input. These changes mostly consist of rolling back environmental and social progress that came at great effort and expense. The hippies of Carbondale are stirring. The plugs are being pulled on what were once considered bold and positive actions. No more windmills. Kill electric cars. Fire up the coal. Stop funding research. Drill Thompson Divide. Deport all the aliens. Drop more bombs. How far can it go? Now it's considered bold and even dangerous to say no. And even though the world is protesting and the massive collective voice sounds loud, apparently it's not loud enough to affect change yet. It is encouraging to see young people coming out. The hippies are tired and need reinforcements. All this hopey, changey stuff takes a lot of effort. Me, I have my whistle and my warm clothes and will add my voice whenever I can. I remember a day decades ago when I was walking back to the Aspen Daily News office in downtown Aspen, my head full of passion and righteousness. I literally said out loud to no one but myself, "I'm still pissed off." Then I went upstairs and pounded out another column. As long as I have a voice and a brain, I plan to use them to foment radical ideas. My hair is not as gray as it should be for a man of my age. Maybe I will let my freak flag fly a little longer. I feel like I owe it to someone. Steve can be contacted via email at mugzuki@gmail.com. Thank you for joining us for Aspen Daily News. My name is Greg Stewart.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.